Good morning. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to join me over in the Gospel of John. We'll be looking in the 6th chapter. Just a glimpse of the story of Jesus that begins in verse 25. So it's again John chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Story is told of two old friends who just happened to bump into one another on the street one day. And one of them looked very forlorn. He was almost on the verge of tears. And his friends asked, "What has the world done to you, my old friend?" The sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, an uncle died and left me $40,000. "Well, that's a lot of money," was the reply. "But 2 weeks ago, a cousin I never even knew died and left me $85,000 free and clear." "Wow, sounds like you have been truly blessed." "You don't understand," he interrupted. "Last week, my great aunt passed away and I inherited almost $250,000. "Well, then why do you look so glum?" "This week, nothing." That's the trouble with receiving something on a regular basis. Even if it's a gift, we begin to come to expect it. This is the entitlement mindset that seems to have permeated America at almost every level. We've been blessed to live in a land of plenty. And as a result, too many of us have become complacent. Many times we're totally unwilling to give thanks to anyone for anything because we think we're entitled. How sad it is when we wayward children put other needs ahead of this need for the bread of life that Christ spoke about. Jesus Christ is the only real need that we have to live for, and yet we take it for granted. And we pursue all the earthly things, the material things, the cars, the houses, the trophy spouses, anything and everything but God. We've been blessed by God in too many ways to even number, and yet we feel like the people in the text that we read this morning, in that just give us one more thing, is what they were saying. One more demonstration of your power, would you, Jesus, please? I mean, look, God fed our forefathers with manna. Can't you give us one more round of food today? Demonstration of his power. They were well past, Jesus thought, of the time to perform a sign in order to believe. And maybe we're well past the need for another sign from God in how he has blessed us in the land in which we live. Poor man was given a loaf of bread. So he went up and he thanked the baker. But the baker said, "Don't thank me. Go thank the miller over there, the one who made the flour." So he went and he sought and he found the miller and he thanked the miller for the flour that was put into the bread. And the miller said, "Don't thank me. Go thank the farmer over there, the one who planted the wheat." So he hunted up the farmer and he went to the farmer and he thanked the farmer, but the farmer said, "Don't thank me. Thank the Lord. He's the one who gave the sunshine and the rain. He gave the fertility to the land. That's why you have bread to eat today. I don't care how sophisticated you are. I don't care how scientific you may be. I don't care how advanced in technology we have become. When you take it all back, we still can't do one important thing, and that's create. We still can't make a kernel of corn. Are we? That has to come from God. And God promises to give us the things that we need in order to live on this planet. Have you ever heard the phrase, attitude is everything? I don't think it's any different when we're talking about Thanksgiving. Our attitude is everything. The attitude that we have, that we carry through life, is of paramount importance. If we're truly going to live the lives and demonstrate our gratitude for God for the blessings that he's given us. Sad thing is some people have, what do we say first? Confused attitudes about their blessings because their priorities are all mixed up. One day a man discovered a friend that had betrayed him and greatly hurt by that. He sought out the man and he said, "Don't you remember who it was that picked you up when you were in the gutter? Don't you remember who bailed you out of jail and who loaned you money and who gave you your first job?" And the man said, "Yes, you did it. But what have you done for me lately?" That's the way we approach God sometimes. He's given us so much, and then we turn around as these in our text said, "Give us one more sign. Do one more thing for us. What have you done for me lately?" We have life and we have health. We have all the things that we enjoy. But what have you done for me lately? Winston Churchill used to like to tell the story about a sailor who happened one day to rescue a drowning little lad. He saw the boy. He was struggling. He reached down. He pulled him out of the water. He actually had to administer artificial respiration. He revived him, and the little boy went on his way. And later that day, the little boy was walking down the street with his mother. And they saw the sailor, and he drug his mother over and said, "Mom, this is the man who saved me." The mother immediately turned to the sailor and said, "Is this true? Did you pull my boy out of the water this morning?" He reluctantly said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." And he was quite surprised when she shook her finger in his face and said, "Where's his hat?" God provides us with so much, and we demand, "Where's the rest?" We want more. God has filled us with so many blessings that we can't name them at all. But instead of thanking God, we so often complain. "What have you done for me lately, God? Hey, where's my hat?" All too seldom do we thank God for the blessings that we have. But not all people are confused in their attitudes. Some people are very realistic in their attitudes. There was a young man one time who was very proud of himself. He was brand new as a college graduate. He had just taken and passed his CPA test. He was now a full-fledged certified public accountant. And he went back home to his father, and he walked into the little store. And his dad had been an immigrant. He had come to the United States, and he owned this little business. And the son, who came in kind of self-important, began to criticize dad on how he ran his... You don't even know how much profit you've made. You keep your money here in the cash register. Over here in a drawer are all your accounts receivables. You don't have any idea how much you've made. Father looked at his son and said, "Son, when I came to this country, the only thing I owned was a pair of pants. And now your brother's a doctor, and your sister is an art teacher, and now you're a certified public accountant. Your mother and I own our own home. We have this little business. Add all of that up. Subtract the pants. The rest of it is profit." Story is told about a couple that immigrated from Romania, back behind the Iron Curtain. They came because they wanted religious freedom. The time in which they lived, the Romanian government allowed them to go to worship services on the Lord's Day, but they were forbidden to go anywhere and read the Bible outside of that setting. And in that setting where they had public worship, there was always a soldier there observing what was taking place. And if you went home with a couple, a soldier would follow you there. Should you be caught, even in your own home, reading a Bible or discussing the things outside of that service, you might well be arrested and spend months in jail. So the couple decided that they were going to escape. Seek religious freedom, just like we're celebrating this week. The pilgrims came to America for exactly the same reason. But they knew that in preparation for their escape, if they had sold their house, if they had sold their furniture, if they'd sold their car, if they tried to even withdraw any money from the banks, some government official would tip them off, and they would know they were planning an escape. So they simply left Romania one day. Left behind their house, left behind their automobile, their furniture, their money. They made it to the United States, arriving here with nothing, unable even to speak our language. The father secured a job. He was a janitor at the University of Oklahoma. 5 years later, he was still working as a custodian there at OU, but he had on the side started his own little cleaning business, and he was working part-time at a dry cleaner, and he might be working 20 hours a day in order to make it. But before long, he'd had enough to buy a $98,000 house, fully furnish it. All of this had been accomplished starting with nothing. Go ask that man if this isn't a land of opportunity, and I can tell you what his answer surely would be. And it makes us think when we hear stories like this. Too many people sit around doing nothing and complaining that the opportunities are all gone. We have a hard time being thankful because we've learned to take too many things for granted. Thomas Jefferson once wrote this. Go home with this if you would. "My God," he said, "how little do my countrymen know the precious blessing they are in possession of and which no other people on earth enjoy." Think about it. We worship here this morning and no one's standing at our door with a rifle in hand observing what we do. Because we live in a free and an open society, we're blessed with the ability to get an education, to travel anywhere in this vast country without anybody hindering us in any way. We can speak freely. We can pursue our ambitions. We can do and excel at whatever we want. I said, I want to look up and see exactly how blessed is America compared to others in the world. And I found as I Googled around that there's many ways that you could express it. But I think this one statistic will stick with you. If you make $15 and 58 cents an hour, and you work 40 hours a week, you're going to have an income of $32,400 a year. And if you have that income, you are in the top 1% of the wage earners in the world. God has given us some tremendous blessings. Maybe you don't quite make $15.50. Maybe you're in the top 2% or top 3% of those in the world. Whatever your condition, I want you to recall what Paul said. It's found over in the book of Philippians in the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 12. Concerning himself, Paul said this, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Perhaps you've heard this poem from long ago. It was written by a gal named Annie Flint. God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Beautiful. What a tremendous blessing it is to be content, to be able to rejoice, to be able to pray, to be able to be thankful regardless of the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Man tells a story about one time he decided he was going to fly around the world in a hot air balloon. And so he takes off from City A, and his plan was to go to City B. But the winds came and threw him awry, and he ended up landing in City C. And he knew of City C, but that wasn't where he intended to go. But nevertheless, that's where he was. So he stayed for a while, and he discovered that it was a pretty nice place to be. And he saw all the sights, and he enjoyed the people, and he made new friends in City C. And then one day he decides he's going to take off from City C, and he's going to go to City D. Well, he took off, and again, contrary winds came, and he landed in City E, and he didn't even know City E existed. But he met the people, and he absorbed their culture, locked in at the sites, and made new friends in City E. And eventually, he made himself all the way around the world in a hot air balloon, but he never went the way he intended. But everywhere he went, he was truly blessed. I think life is a lot like that. You may be at A and you think you're going to B, but somehow you're going to land in C. The question is, are you going to gripe and complain, or are you going to look for the blessings that provided you in even City C? Are we going to be content with the blessings that God showers upon us all around us every day? How then can we overcome our mindset of apathy that we so often have towards the true spirit of giving thanksgiving to God for the blessings that He has given us? Well, let me give you a couple of suggestions. And they all center around focusing on what you have rather than what you don't have. And see if that doesn't improve your attitude, because attitude is everything. Be thankful that you don't already have everything that you want. My two grandkids were over here the other day, and they're beginning to make their list for Christmas. I want. We all want. But if we had everything we wanted, what would we have to look forward to? Be thankful when you don't know something, because that gives you the opportunity to go seek out knowledge, to learn. Be thankful for the difficult times, for it is in those times that you grow. Be thankful for your limitations. They give you opportunity for improvement. Be thankful for each new challenge, whatever it is, because it's going to build strength and character within you. Be thankful for your mistakes. Oh, I've made mistakes. We all have. Teach us valuable lessons. As you get old and this hair falls out and turns gray, we call that experience. Be thankful when you come home tired and weary, because it means you made a difference today in doing something positive. It's easy to be thankful for the good things. It's more difficult to be thankful for the setbacks. We need to find a way to be thankful even in our times of our troubles and difficult times. My friends, God is big enough to handle it all. The greatest blessing you and I have in this world is exactly what Jesus Christ was talking about. God has sent His own Son. He is the bread of life, it says. That's indescribable. That's an immeasurable gift. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. It is in His blood that it covers our sins and gives us the assurance that when we depart this life, after all the things that we have accumulated here have been taken out of our hands, that through Jesus Christ we can receive the greatest gift, eternal life, in the presence of our Savior and our God. That was His promise. What is the work of God? Believe in Christ who was sent by God. That's what He said. That's enough to make one thankful. This morning as we sing a song of invitation, Christ invites you to be in Him, to receive His gift. He says, come to Me through faith, through repentance of your sin, through your willingness to confess that faith. Be immersed, baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. To rise and walk as a new creature in a Christian life, looking with an attitude of blessing for all that you have. And we truly all have a lot. Come if you will, as we stand and sing.